Welcome to the White Rabbit Podcast, where we talk about WebXR, that's VR and AR on the web. My name is Jonathan, one of the founders of White Rabbit.
Hi, my name is Florian. I'm the other founder of White Rabbit and a WebXR game developer.
And my name is Darius, intern and WebXR developer at White Rabbit.
Hello and welcome back to the White Rabbit Podcast, where we talk about the best web VR practices today, focusing on optimization and rendering. Our motto for today's podcast is that frame rate is more important than looks. The users definitely need to be able to experience what you're developing in a stable environment, and with a frame rate of 60 frames at least, gives a lot better feeling than having a jittery one. So Darius, you had a lot of optimizations done when it came to content in your first game, which was Earth Defender. Talk with us a little about that.
Of course, yeah. I had a few performance issues because I had some high poly asteroids for the game, and then it's important to reduce the vertex counts if you're doing WebVR. So I just replaced the high res models with hexasphere or something like that. It's a geometrical object that just exists in A-frame. And another point is that the textures should be power of 2, so it's better to. So why exactly is it that way?
So the GPU works better with power of 2 textures. And that is so significant that even A-frame will resize your texture before uploading it to the GPU if you don't do it. So instead of letting A-frame do it every time a user loads the game, you should do that in beforehand. Also, A-frame will basically add a border to your texture. So it's like adding empty pixels and uploading those to the GPU, which is a total waste of texture space, right? You could instead just make your texture a little bit bigger or a little bit smaller, but use all of the pixels rather than uploading empty pixels to the GPU.
And also, if you have a square shape texture, scaling it down to a power of 2 texture is not really much effort. I just recommend using GIMP if you're on a freebie mode, or using Photoshop or any other photo editing tool of your preference. Another important thing, what we did, for example, for Barista Express was batching static meshes to reduce draw calls. And Jonathan made some really nice work on that. Can you talk to us about that, Jonathan?
Yeah, well, as we mentioned in one of our first episodes where we talked about optimization in Barista Express, I mentioned that we had this custom GLTF pipeline stage, which is a tool to optimize GLTF assets, right? If you haven't used it yet, go check it out. But generally, the idea is we just used all the static meshes and we batched them together to one, which means if you tell the GPU to draw it, the CPU only needs to tell the GPU once, right? Draw this huge model, basically, instead of draw these 10 models, which would require 10 commands to the GPU, and every command to the GPU basically slows down the CPU, which issues the commands. Another way of reducing draw calls is to use the multi-view extension, for example, which, for example, is supported in the Oculus browser. That allows you to draw the right and the left eye at the same time. So issue one draw call and just draw it to both eyes, rather than saying, okay, draw this table for the left eye, and now draw this table for the right eye. You just say, draw this table for both eyes, and you're done. That requires a special extension that you need to query if it's actually available, and your framework needs to support it because there's some additional work involved. I think you even need to support it in the shader and so on, modify the GLSL code. But Oculus browser, for example, supports it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to just ask, is whether every browser supports that or not.
I think most browsers don't.
Yeah.
Only very specific browsers. But maybe Firefox supports it. I'm not 100% sure, though, but they had a blog about multi-view rendering once, so I assume that they might, at least with Firefox Reality.
When we also talk about VR-specific optimization, we can't leave out fixed foveated rendering. Do you want to tell us more about that?
Yeah, so with the Oculus Go, that's a thing that they supported in the SDK first, which is basically at your peripheral. So like you have the center of the eye that is called the fovea, and that's where foveated rendering comes from. But at the peripheral, so the outside regions, you don't see as crisp and as exact or sharp as you do in the fovea. So you only need to render the fovea at high resolution, versus the outside, you can reduce the resolution a bit. And fixed foveated rendering means fixed because the fovea is always set to the middle. Versus in newest eye tracking enabled headsets, you can actually track where the user is looking and where the fovea is, and you can adaptively reduce the resolution of what you're rendering depending on where the fovea is. But with fixed foveated rendering, you just assume that it's in the middle, and with the Oculus Go, for example, that means the center of the screen is rendered at full resolution and the outside is rendered reduced. This also requires a browser-specific extension that needs to be enabled or tested for, and that is, for example, just supported in the Oculus browser. I don't think any other browsers support that.
That's pretty interesting to hear. Okay, then let's go back to an optimization that a lot of people might know from basically any rendering application, and that would be anti-aliasing.
Well, anti-aliasing is not an optimization at all. It's a super pessimization. So
okay, graphical optimization, performance-wise pessimization.
Yeah.
Anti-aliasing is definitely easy to use in A-Frame, for example, but how is it supported generally in web rendering and WebXR?
It's generally supported everywhere except with the multi-view extension. Current versions of the multi-view extension don't allow you to enable anti-aliasing as well. So if you don't use multi-view, then anti-aliasing is a must. While you said that frame rate is more important than looks always, the number one upgrade to your visuals is always enabling anti-aliasing, because that will make the user's HMD screen, like VR headset screen, look higher resolution than it actually is. Versus,
for our users who don't know what anti-aliasing is, it's basically making sharper edges crispier by making the pixels that have a hard difference interpolate between. So if you have a hard black corner, it basically makes the pixel of the corner mixed with the pixel in the upper front so that the colors are nicer to look at.
Yeah, exactly. It it super samples the edges using multi-sampled anti-aliasing. That is a mouthful, but it basically just means at the edges of a mesh, where you usually would get like a very, very squiggly line or like a staircase artifact, you super sample exactly this region, this edge, to then interpolate between like four samples per pixel or something like that, which allows you to like blend with the background rather than doing a hard cut and having these stair artifacts.
While also talking about artifacts, and we can also go into talking about mipmaps.
Yeah.
How do you want to explain mipmaps?
A mipmap is basically storing a texture, for example, any rectangular texture, in different resolutions. Okay, so you usually have full resolution, that is mipmap level 0, and then you do 1/4 of the resolution, and then 1/4 of that, and 1/4 of that, and 1/4 of that, until you only have one single pixel. That allows, if you sample that pixel, to always sample the same, basically, mixture of the pixels. Okay, it's a little bit hard to explain. You should definitely look at visualizations of this, but it basically means that if you undersample the pixels of this texture, undersample the texture, for example, when they're further away, then you only might sample every fifth or every tenth or whatever pixel of this texture. But if you move your head just ever so slightly, then you'd sample one pixel farther to the right, so to speak, and every tenth of that, which will result in a completely different texture, which just makes everything look like super noisy. And you can just Google how the artifacts that are produced by sampling only every nth pixel, whatever, are called Moiré patterns. I don't actually know how to pronounce that. But with map mapping, you can basically say, okay, every 10th pixel is exactly the same as every 10th plus 1 pixel, right? And that will basically result in much smoother texture sampling in distant textured objects.
You can also do similar distant-based optimizations with meshes with a system called LOD, level of detail, which basically swaps out a mesh depending on the distance that the camera has to this object. So you can define certain levels of distance at which objects are rendered differently. And MIP mapping can do similar effects for textures. And also, we will have a link for MIP mapping in the description. So if you really want to go into that, you should definitely check it out.
Exactly. Let's talk about LOD in more detail a bit in the next episode. Let's talk about LOD in more depth. No pun intended. Let's talk about LOD in the next episode.
Okay, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.